Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More calls for the release of the Epstein files. Members of President Trump's base loudly demanding it. Attorney General Pam Bondi says there's nothing to release. The National Guard pulling out of Los Angeles. The Pentagon ordering the 2,000 California guardsmen who were called up during recent ICE protests to now leave the city. An American Idol music supervisor and her husband both found dead in their Los Angeles home. Police were conducting a welfare check and found the bodies of Robin Kay and her husband in the Encino neighborhood with gunshot wounds. LAPD Lieutenant Guy Golan says they have caught the man they think did it.
Motive is unknown. We're still looking into whether he has any type of relationship with the victims. Right now, it is an apparent random attack. The House did not appear to be ransacked.
The Senate voting to advance the White House-backed bill rescinding billions that have already been allocated for public health and public broadcasting. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hayes.
Trustees for the Green Bay Area Public School District are frustrated with state lawmakers and the lack of funding provided to local schools in the recently passed state budget. Special education reimbursements were raised to 42% for the 2025-26 school year and 45% for the 2026-27 school year. That's good news. However, local property owners are the ones who will foot the additional $325 per pupil added to school funding. Green Bay trustee Jeanette Nill.
Property taxes are going to go up. I don't like that. I pay property taxes. That means housing costs are going up. Don't blame the school districts, whether it's Green Bay or Ashwaubenon or De Pere. It's the guys in Madison who voted for this budget.
Trustee Laura McCoy was also distressed by the amount of funding that's going to private schools via vouchers while public schools take the hit.
This to me represents an enormous amount of unfairness in our how we fund public education. We're at the mercy of politicians. And again they have proven that they Well, I have to ask myself, and I'm speaking only for myself now, do they care?
In addition to reductions in state aid, the school district is also facing losing $3.4 million thanks to federal funding freezes. Gary Day, who faces two counts of abduction and two counts of child enticement, pleaded not guilty Tuesday. Day is accused of abducting 17-year-old Sophia Franklin of Beaver Dam, who is the subject of an Amber Alert and who is carrying his child. No trial date has been set for the 40-year-old Day. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
Nationally gets the victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star game ended in a win for the National League. The NL jumped out to a 6-0 lead. The American League came back, down 6-4 in the ninth to tie the game up. And so for the first time, they had a swing-off, a mini home run derby. And the Phillies' Kyle Schwarber responded going 3-for-3 home runs on Fox Sports.
The swing off.
Later, Schwarber named the game's MVP, Brewers rookie Jacob Mizorowski. The Miz pitched in the eighth inning, allowing just one hit and retiring three other batters. And Milwaukee's Trevor McGill also making an appearance, retiring the batter he faced to end the seventh inning. NBA, the Bucks wrapping up their summer league schedule in Las Vegas. They'll take on the Chicago Bulls. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A little sunshine this morning, becoming cloudy with scattered thunderstorms later this afternoon into tonight. Some heavy rain possible. A couple of severe storms also a possibility, so stay weather aware today. Our high in the low to mid 80s. Tomorrow will be sunny and cooler with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road for What Makes Wisconsin Great, this time from the EAA and Oshkosh Air Museum, along with Jane and Greg. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, July 16th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on so many other platforms. So many options for you. Thank you for starting your day right here. Hope things didn't get too bad by you wherever there might have been thunderstorms or heavy rain. And unfortunately, more thunderstorms and heavy rain are on the way for plenty of folks across Wisconsin today. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will have the forecast coming up in about an hour. I got a question for you. You want to hear about the most Wisconsin thing you could learn at the start of your day? I actually have to share this with Parker Olson, who produces this fine program from Madison Studio A2. Parker, how are you today?
I'm doing very good. Mr. Kreitlow, how are you doing?
Great. Here's the most Wisconsin thing.
Oh, boy.
So we put together, you know, newsletters every day at Up North News. Yeah. Sign up at upnorthnews.wi.com. Shameless plug there. And then in the newsletter, both the weekday one and my Sunday politics one, there are various links that you can click on to read our articles or anything else that we link to. And then we measure a lot of things. We measure subscribers. We measure readers, who opens the emails that are sent to them, and who clicks on the link. Not who clicks on the links, but how many people click on the links.
Yeah.
So one of my bosses is just a sweet woman from Georgia. Just love her. She's so wonderful. And sometimes she kind of worries about us up here in the great Midwest. She sent me a copy of her report from one of our recent newsletters. And it had an article there about Wisconsin deaths from alcohol-related liver disease. And there were clicks there about, you know, CDC data and about, you know, all kinds of things about, you know, drinking culture and everything. And Kim sends me a note showing that the thing that was overwhelmingly the most clicked on was, apart from the state health department's website, on what exactly constitutes excessive drinking. Because we're all curious, like, I don't know, are we over the line? I don't know. And she sends a little note below it that says, "Oh, Wisconsin." And I said, no. Our state motto is "On Wisconsin." Yeah. That's what I say to that. I'm curious about this excessive drinking. Could it be me?
It probably certainly is you. Yes.
It certainly could be Wisconsin. So again, enjoy in moderation to the degree that you are able, please. Coming up on the program this morning, it's going to be a busy one. We're going to have a look at some campaign finance reports. Those are normally pretty dull affairs. We're not going to go through them all, but something stuck out yesterday when Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley reported raising $0 in the last reporting period. Not the world's biggest surprise given her history, but still noteworthy. But wait till you hear about one of the candidates for governor and where the overwhelming majority, nearly all of his campaign donations came from. I can't wait. I'll tell you now. It's businessman Bill Berrien. $1.2 million raised, $1 million of it coming from the Winklevoss twins. Yeah, the guys from the Facebook movie. Do you ever see the Facebook movie?
There's a Facebook movie?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's all about Mark Zuckerberg creating Facebook.
Oh, and, okay. Documentary, then.
A documentary. It's, it's called The Social Network. It was a 2010 movie.
Huh.
You haven't seen The Social Network.
I have not seen this, no, and I was terrified of if it was called The Facebook Movie, I would have been terrified of what that would have looked like. Can you imagine, Pat?
It was Jesse Eisenberg starring as Mark Zuckerberg, and Armie Hammer played both Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss, who famously had a dispute with Eisenberg, or with Zuckerberg rather, over who actually created Facebook. And so the Winklevoss twins were, you know, kind of the butt of some jokes and things like that. And the Winklevoss twins are still very active businessmen. And apparently really believe in Bill Berrien because they put nearly all the money into his account of his new campaign for governor.
Sure, whatever floats your boat.
I guess if you got that kind of money. I mean, look, yeah. Elon Musk, he had $20 million to burn on that state Supreme Court race earlier this year here in Wisconsin. So we'll have more fun with that a little bit later on in today's program and other little notes about, you know, who's been raising funds so far for what's going to be a very busy 2026 election. Some serious notes to share about education in our homeroom segment during our 7 o'clock hour. You would probably be quite alarmed to hear that there is a ticking time bomb in the state budget, and it's about to explode taxes that we all have to pay for private school vouchers. The voucher program already costs us nearly $1 billion a year. A lot of our tax dollars going to families that frankly don't need it, but Republicans in their war on public education are taking your money and allowing wealthier families to use it for vouchers. But there's an enrollment cap on that, so only so many students can take advantage of those caps. Except the caps go away next year. What's that going to do to either the state budget or property taxpayers and the parade of referendums going on all around Wisconsin? We will talk to State Representative Christian Phelps at 7:30. More about that. And then at 8:30, we're talking to the new chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Devin Remiker. He's going to be in La Crosse tonight, along with lots of other folks, for a town hall in the 3rd Congressional District. Now, the 3rd Congressional District Representative, Derek Van Orden, will probably not be there. It's doubtful that he can rip himself away from his Twitter machine and stop insulting people long enough to do, you know, the job of listening to his constituents. But Devin Remiker will be along to tell us all about the event anyway, so that folks in the La Crosse area can share their stories about what it is that Derek Van Orden voted for and that Donald Trump put out there and Ron Johnson and every other Wisconsin Republican voted for, slashing health care and other programs so that their rich friends can get a bigger tax cut. All that is coming up. Of course, we will also have, Jimmy Cusco will be in to share some of the news stories that he's working on. Earl Ingram will be talking about, he's got that new podcast series, of course, Melissa Baldoff with Climate Check. We got James Kelly coming in from the Chippewa Falls newsroom about stories that he's covering for Civic Media. And who am I forgetting? Who am I saving for last? That, of course, would be Melissa Kay, because, again, Parker, we got to believe that, whereas last week, what's the bird's name now?
Lucy Liu.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Lucy Liu was hiding last week in the thrilling conclusion of Melissa Kay's pigeon quest. So we'll find out if the bird has made it 1 week so far.
If the bird's made it. Well, I'll tell you this much, Pat. I think that the bird has not been put into a KFC bucket as you had anticipated, perhaps?
No.
So.
Do you know something I don't? I mean.
No, I don't know a thing. Okay. I'm just saying. I think it's probably gone well enough that it hasn't been made dinner yet.
I'm just, you know, Melissa's been such a good sport about this, and
yes,
I would like to think she knows that if she really wanted to shock us, we'd bring the camera up in about 30 minutes here, and she'd be, you know, gnawing on a drumstick. You know, we don't have to know that it's a rotisserie chicken from the grocery store. We don't have to know that.
That would be a fantastic bit.
She could tell us that Paint Bucket, a.k.a. Lilu, was a naughty bird. We'll find out from Melissa Kay coming up in today's history lesson in just a bit. Here's the state forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Soaking rain across the state last night continues into today. Some thunderstorms as well. Behind it all, significantly cooler and more comfortable air arrives. There will be a couple of dry days to end the week before more showers and storms start up again come Saturday. So the forecast for today, cloudy and cooler. Strong or even severe thunderstorms are possible, along with heavy rains and flash flood concerns. Highs around 60 up north to the low 80s in southern Wisconsin. A northeast wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. For tonight, the rain moves out. Lows will be in the mid-40s up north, 60s to the south. And a northeast wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. It was a scorcher yesterday. It was in the mid-80s here on Lake Wissota. It felt hotter than that. Quite a day for me to have the new lake steps start to get installed. So the guys that are putting them in, they showed up yesterday, and they said, jokingly, I hope, they said, well, we're just going to start now, and we're gonna stop whenever the first signs of heat stroke show up. I was like, okay. So they did. They put a couple hours work in, and then they took a break a little after lunch, and I did not see them again because it was really hot out here, and I don't blame them one bit, because we're on a steep bank. It is not easy to put those steps in. We're replacing some wooden ones that are falling apart after 30 years, and I'm happy to write that check, shall we say. Rather than trying to come up with stairs myself.
Some and expenses are good ones.
Yes. Leave it to the professionals, Pat. You know, in olden days, you pretty much had to make your own steps. You either made your own steps, or you'd like dig into the bank and you'd put like field stone down and you'd have like these stone steps down, you know, with no hand railing. So Lord help you. So I'm glad to see the professionals that are out there, and there are more of them all the time that can build these things out of, you know, aluminum or other metal and wood, as the case may be, and some of them look really nice. Yeah. What we don't have, but I see on some of these steep banks around here, are those things called, I guess they're technically called elevators. They're basically on rails. It's like a little car, you know, that you stand in, and think of like the ones for wheelchairs when you're in a building and you got to go up just a short staircase. Sure. It's something about that size.
Okay.
And it goes up and down a rail track on there. And I guess those things started like $100,000 to put in. Yeah.
Is that out of a quite low budget?
Yeah. And even then, I really don't think I could do it. I mean, look, I have a lot of faith in technology and engineering and everything else, but the prospect of, I'll ride a roller coaster once in a great while, but the prospect of being on one of those cars for fear that the brake or whatever holds it there gives out and sends you hurtling toward the lake, no thanks. Can I just attach a bungee cord to a tree up at the top and then I'll
slingshot
lower myself? I'll lower myself down on the elastic, and then when I need to come up, I'll just pull really hard on the elastic and slingshot myself to the top of the bank.
I would like to see you like slingshotted up a hill, wearing your little yacht captain's hat.
My little captain's hat over here.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that would be quite the image.
It is quite the image. I feel like I'd look like somebody being shot out of a cannon, which also I think some people would not necessarily mind. Let's see. From Jim in Brookfield, good morning, Pat. Yes, write the check for the lake steps. Also, better incomplete lake steps than an incomplete roof. Yes, there's some jobs you got to get them done, and you got to get them done now. Thankfully, these guys can come back when things get a little bit better out there. We'll continue following the day's headlines in just a second, tell you about the All-Star Game. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley for over 30 years and are proud sponsors of Mino and the Maris Eye on the Community. Insight offers comprehensive eye care, including glasses and contact lenses. Their doctors have a special interest in treating chronic eye disease, specialty contact lenses, and pediatric care. Find Insight on Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam. Improving lives by improving sight. Insight Eye Care.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is good again for Hoskins.
Brewers Baseball on WISS is brought to you by Addison Jones Realty, Zeroni's Macaroni Pizza Pub, Green Thumb Organics, and Berkshire Hathaway Water City Realty. Catch Brewers Baseball all season long on WISS.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Got a lot coming up today. If you missed it off the top, new State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remicker will be here, as will State Representative Christian Phelps, Melissa Baldoff with this week's Climate Check, and so much more. Hey, remember the 2002 All-Star Game at Miller Park? The one that ended up tied, and Commissioner Bud Selig was like, well, that's it, we're done, it's a tie. Didn't go over really well. Well, the solution that they eventually came up with got its first real use last night in baseball's Midsummer Classic, with the American and National League teams tied at six after nine innings. They went for a mini home run derby, Parker. They went for a swing-off, which the National League won 4-3. In the swing-off, each team designates three players, each gets three swings, and the most home runs wins. The Phillies' Kyle Schwarber hit dingers on all three swings, so he was named the game's MVP, despite going 0-2 at the plate, making him the first non-pitcher to get no hits in the actual game and still be named MVP. I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, I mean, that's awesome.
I know.
For such a silly thing that, and I will say I do think MLB has the best All-Star game. For a thing as silly as an All-Star game, that's awesome.
Yes. I mean, I say the same thing all the time, and I noticed our friend Bob Look put this on social media yesterday, too. Everything becomes such a production. Yeah. Just play the game, honestly. Don't need all the Hollywood stuff. Just play it. Here's the other development from the game. They brought in the robots. Oh, by the way, you'll hear this on today's calendar. Today is Artificial Intelligence Appreciation Day. So A day in advance of AI Appreciation Day, Major League Baseball used the robot umpires for challenge purposes last night. Home plate umpire Dan Iasonia had five of his calls challenged, and four of those challenges were successful.
I like it.
Way to have a night there, ump. I mean, going home and realizing on national TV, four of your five calls were overturned. And the use of a system that could make its regular season debut next year, Commissioner Rob Manfred indicated the 11-man competition committee will consider the system for next season. Now, here's the part. I'm going to read this part. You're going to like this. Let's start with you, Parker. If I'd say describe the strike zone, how would you basically describe the strike zone for a batter?
Like knee to, I don't remember exactly what it, like,
sternum, maybe?
Ribs, yeah. Like lower, yep, rib.
Okay.
Ish.
And then, of course, and then the width of the plate, right?
Yeah.
So MLB takes, like, what do they do with the robot? You see the box on TV. Where is that box? The automated strike zone is 53.5% of a batter's height, and the bottom is at 27% of a batter's height. Basing the decision on the midpoint of the plate, 8.5 inches from the front and 8.5 inches from the back. Contrast that with the baseball rule book, where the strike zone is a cube, according to the thing that the umpires use. But as you all know, if you watch it on TV, it is not a cube. It's a rectangle.
No.
So if we can't even agree on the definition, then, yeah, let's just put the robot in there.
This is the beautiful thing about baseball, Pat. We don't know what the strike zone is. We don't know what a swing is because Lord only knows what a check swing is or isn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Again, part of the beauty of the game. So, look, the Brewers pitchers, great job. Jacob Mizorowski came in for the eighth inning, allowed one single and then one line out and two pop outs, basically. I mean, they were hard hit balls, but they were hit way up high and good for the outfielders. And he threw like at least four pitches over 100 miles an hour. And he had a slider at 98 miles an hour, a 98 mile an hour slider. That director for Fox was smart enough that after that pitch, he right away cut to both dugouts.
Yeah,
first one and then the other. And all the players are just shaking their heads because they could see it was a slider. They could see it break and still go 98 miles an hour to do that, not 75 or something like that. And they're all just dumbfounded going, this kid, look at this.
Yeah.
So
he had a changeup of 99.
Yeah. I'm just enjoying it, you know, until his arm falls off. And I'm not saying I wish that. I'm just saying I won't be surprised if it does, because that's where we're at right now, unfortunately.
That's the nature of pitching at this point, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, getting back to the Winklevoss twins here for a moment. They are founders of the cryptocurrency company Gemini, and they donated $500,000 each for a total of $1 million to support Republican candidate for governor Bill Berrien. This, according to campaign finance reports that were put in a story by Anna Kleiber of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. These were donations to Berrien's PAC, Political Action Committee, that he launched earlier this year when he was considering running for governor. So Berrien, who is a manufacturing CEO from Whitefish Bay, is in the race along with Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. And Shulman, in the most recent report, which runs through the end of June, shows that in the 2 months or so that he's been in the campaign, Shulman has raised about $425,000. Governor Tony Evers has raised about $750,000 since the start of the calendar year through the end of June. Contrast that to 4 years earlier when he'd raised $5 million in the same time frame. But again, is that tea leaves about a potential decision? I would tell you that it's still too early to say. Again, there was a lot that was said about the reports for Rebecca Bradley, the conservative justice, whose term is up next year and was widely thought to be running for re-election, but still has not started fundraising yet. So it's led to speculation she may not run for another term. But just remember that all of these checks, all of these donations do not necessarily mean wins. For example, Elon Musk. who donated $20 million to help Brad Schimmel in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race earlier this year. And we all know how that turned out. When we come back, we're going to hear from Dan Schaefer, part of my interview with him later in yesterday's show about the shaping campaign for governor. That's after the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
That yummy ice cream treat that you enjoy might look a little different in the future. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. That's because the ice cream industry is the first to pledge that they are going to discontinue use of certain artificial colors from ice cream products made with real milk by December 31st, 2027. Now, if it's a complicated flavor, that can take a little longer, according to Shannon Simon, marketing manager for Cedar Crest Ice Cream.
Pirate's Bounty obviously uses M&Ms, so we would have to be on waiting on Mars to kind of change their food dye before we'd have the availability to change our food dyes. So we are kind of at the mercy of a few other companies that needs to make their changes first. But for something like our strawberry and our Blue Moon that uses some dyes, we are considering alternatives that would still provide the same taste. So it is something that our team is actively working on, but it's going to take some time before we can finally fully execute, you know, a whole dye-free ice cream flavor.
Shannon Simon, she's the marketing manager for Cedar Crest Ice Cream, explaining how truly complicated those kinds of changes can be. Now, the International Dairy Foods Association says right now, U.S. ice cream companies are pledging to eliminate the use of red dye number 3, red number 40, green 3, blue 1, blue 2, yellow 5, and yellow 6 from their ice cream and frozen dairy desserts by 2028.com.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And while the ice cream industry may be one of the first to walk away from certain artificial food dyes, in some states, it's becoming mandatory. Texas is already requiring warning labels on 44 ingredients. Louisiana just created a law controlling 50 ingredients, some prohibited in schools and some banned throughout the state. The ingredient conversation continues. I'm Pam Yonke.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
A little sunshine this morning, becoming cloudy with scattered thunderstorms later this afternoon into tonight. Some heavy rain possible. A couple of severe storms also a possibility, so stay weather aware today. Our high in the low to mid 80s. Tomorrow will be sunny and cooler with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 71.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at focusonfreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Chris Larson. We discuss how to bring Democrats together and have productive disagreements. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back. It is 6:35. Tomorrow on the program, State Senator Jeff Smith will be here to talk about whatever it was that happened that the state budget ended up with $0 funding a particular program to help homeless veterans. And now a couple of facilities, including one here in Chippewa Falls, that help homeless veterans face closure in September unless the legislature intervenes and fixes the thing that it either forgot to do or I don't know what. We'll ask Senator Jeff Smith just what exactly happened when he and other Democrats put up an amendment, and a lot of Republicans voted no on it. Also tomorrow, Corrine Hendrickson, a child care provider from the Nuglaris area, talks about the future of child care, and at least specifically her future in child care, because of what happened in the state budget and what wasn't in the state budget. All right, but next we're going to hear from Dan Schaefer, and before I do that, allow me to pull back the curtain a little bit about this radio show and explain how the schedule works for folks who might be hearing us for the first time here. We are on weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on now 10 stations across the Civic Media Radio Network all throughout Wisconsin, and we are so grateful to have you all here, either live on the radio or by podcast or watching us on social media. And in terms of the format of the show, there are opportunities in the 7 o'clock hour and the 8 o'clock hour where we take these breaks, and anybody that listens regularly knows we take breaks at about 20 past the hour and 50 past the hour. And some of the stations will then break away for a few minutes and give a little local news update. You'll hear local interviews with people who are civic or community leaders. And then folks come back and join us at the top or the bottom of the hour. We keep yapping away over here because there are some stations that don't have a local update. And frankly, here in the Chippewa Valley, we provide that local update with help from James Kelly and Jimmy Cuska and others. So sometimes we have a guest interview that stretches into that segment where some of the local stations will cut away across Wisconsin, and we want you to hear what they had to say. So yesterday we had Dan Schaefer on for a while talking about Wisconsin political news. We took a break, and so some of what you might have missed is Dan Schaefer talking about the race for governor next year and a few other matters. So let's pick up the second half of our conversation with Dan Schaefer, the Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, let's get back to the governor's race. We've talked about the two Republican candidates. Let's talk about the one Democratic candidate, potentially. That would be Governor Tony Evers. And now, of course, everybody watching the tea leaves for any kind of activity. Can I assume that, you know, again, it's only a couple of days removed from the budget, that there's been no inklings yet one way or the other?
I haven't heard any inklings one way or another, and I don't think I'd be the one to know at this point after I've had my say.
I was sure that the governor would say, you know what, buddy, you're right. I'm going to give you the scoop on this one, you know?
Yeah, but...
You don't see that coming? No,
don't see that one coming right now. Okay. Right. But, you know, we're all on pins and needles waiting for the governor's decision. I think, you know, it's certainly been the hot topic post-budget right now to see what's next for the governor. But, you know, he's gonna make his decision on his own time, and he's earned that. So,
And let me say that this is writ large of Democrats. I'm not going to name names, but as we've reached out to Democrats to either appear on the show or talk to them about news stories or anything, you can just feel them flinching. You can just feel them go, don't ask me about this. I can't talk about this right now until the governor makes a decision one way or the other. But, of course, we're all dying to know. We'll pick on State Senator Kelda Roy. She was on a few days back. She's on frequently. And you just know she's like, oh, God, we're going to talk about this again. And you have to give the safe answer till you know what it is. So
Yeah. Forgive
any skittishness that you might see out there. To get back to the state budget, and we talked about the homeless veteran facilities, but what an interesting microcosm we've had just on this show alone in our first 2 days on the air in Green Bay, where we've had an assembly rep, Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner, and a senator, Jamie Wall, both Democrats, one voting against the budget, one voting for the budget, and both very clearly stating the earnest reasons why you would do one or the other. And, I mean, that's a trend we're just going to see for a while, where not everybody's going to be happy, Dan, but the reaction is still coming in from all folks, and it really depends on whether they want to see the glass as half empty or half full.
Yeah, you're right. And I think, you know, those conversations that you've been having, I thought our friend Mark Becker at the Rational Revolution had a great conversation with State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim on her vote on the budget. She was also one of the state senators who voted in favor of it. It's the nature of compromise, right? But I do think there is certainly a little bit of a difference between state Senate Democrats being at the table and Assembly Democrats not being at the table in these negotiations. And, you know, that perhaps coloring some perceptions from people, you know, that most Democrats voted against this budget. I think we're still seeing some of the fallout from that. There was a rally at the Capitol in Madison with some child care providers expressing some frustration, to say the least, with, some of the components of the child care the compromise that went into the child care budget, raising of those ratios from 1 to 4 to 1 to 7, and some of the other, you know, details there that went into that I think, you know, I think the way that the child care providers characterized that it was compromising provider safety. So I think that's something not to be taken lightly as well. I think, you know, there's still a lot of questions with this budget, especially after it came together in such a discombobulating way, Pat.
Yes, it did. Way to stay on brand. When I keep talking about the bipartisan nature of the vote, that is in no way meant to undersell the, and I mean this word, anger felt by education advocates about the zero increase in general aids, mm-hmm. and by child care providers about funding that only runs for 1 year and provides no stability whatsoever. So I just wanted to say again that when I talk about Democrats and Republicans voting for or against and some people not liking it, people want to go, oh, well, if some people don't like it, it must have been a good bipartisan budget. Oh, no. The things that some people don't like, they are rightly incensed that they're not in there. And you're going to keep hearing about this from child care providers, from education advocates, now from veterans advocates. These folks they're not just unhappy with the budget. They are furious.
There is some real anger out there with the budget, that's for sure. And, you know, add into that the decision that UW system had to make last week with raising tuition because they didn't get long-term increases in funding. Most of the funding that went to the UW, and there was a lot of really important funds that made it into the budget, but a lot of them were capital projects. So there are one-time expenditures on buildings, on various improvements in infrastructure within the UW system. I know the Polk Library, my alma mater at UW Oshkosh, is getting redeveloped. And so I think there are a lot of those increases are there, but it didn't really fund the system increases in the long term, too. So you also had, yeah, I think some of it, like the three main components of the budget that the Evers administration was really dug in on was K-12 education, child care, and UW system funding. And I think we're seeing even, you know, the difficulties of compromise. Yes, they got a budget passed over the finish line. Yes, it includes a lot of wins that wouldn't have been otherwise had Senate Democrats not come to the table. But it still doesn't go far enough. And I think I liked the way that Senator Dassler-Alfheim characterized this on Rational Revolution as saying, this is hopefully the last crappy budget that we'll have to pass.
We can all hope for that. Dan Schaefer, you can read what he puts out on Civic Media as their political editor, and of course subscribe over at the Recombobulation Area as well. Dan, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Be well.
And a reminder, of course, that if you either for local breaks or you're just away from your radio and you want to listen back to parts of our show, subscribe to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you mention or wherever you get your podcast, whatever platform you prefer, and subscribe to us there. You might become an everyday listener, or it might be just nice to have handy when you want to listen back to an interview or some of the things that we talked about. While you're subscribing to things like Spotify, head over and do our newsletter as well, upnorthnewswi.com. We have a weekend newsletter about Wisconsin politics. It's called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. In last Sunday's issue, there was a link to my commentary from this program last week about how the state Supreme Court is making it harder for politicians to bend the rules. Politicians from both parties. This is a very reform-minded set of progressive judges who are in the majority on the court right now. There's also the clapback to Wisconsin Republicans who thought it would be cute to send a letter to Canada saying, please stop sending us your wildfire smoke. And then there's our question of the week, which I want to get into here for a moment. And it deals with whether the Democratic Party should be moving further to the left or if it is just right where it is now. I gave four options. I said option A was, yes, go left, be bold, no more squishy Democrats. Option B was, hey, we're a big tent. There's room for all kinds of voices as long as they're rooted in progressive values. There was option C, which was to stop the slide toward the left because it will alienate moderates. And of course, there was option D. I'm a Republican. I'm just here with a big box of popcorn to watch what y'all are doing. So I want to give you a little sample here. Here's Barbara, who voted for option A, moving left. She says, universal health care, subsidized child care, taxes on the rich. You call them leftist. Many people in other nations call them rights. And then there's Don, who votes for B, the big tent option, and says we need to have room for an open discussion on issues. There's Rocky, who voted for option C, the more centrist one, writing, because you can only move the people a bit at a time. Slow down and get it right eventually. Patience. And then Vicky writes, I'm in the D camp and truly believe if the left goes any further, they will hurt themselves badly. I have popcorn in a large bowl watching what's happening. So those are some of the responses to our newsletter. Sign up for it again at upnorthnewswi.com. So about that drift to the left, a lot of that has come up because of the success of Zoran Mondani winning the New York City Democratic primary. And again, now New York City is already, you know, a heavily Democratic city, so it's not indicative of the entire country, but it is a microcosm of what the party is doing and how the party should be moving. Well, to that end, in Southern Arizona, there was a congressional primary election yesterday, and it was for a seat that was vacated by the death of popular Congressman Raul Grijalva. He was a beloved 11-term Democratic congressman. His daughter, Adelita, age 54, was the Democratic frontrunner, and she had a lot of endorsements, but also had a candidate who was charging hard from the left, a 25-year-old newcomer, Deja Fox, a reproductive rights and political digital strategist and activist, and she appeared to be gaining momentum. And if you head over to couriernewsroom.com, you'll see that there was a video series done on her, along with our friends at the Copper Courier, our outlet there in Arizona, following Deja Fox as she tried this insurgency to bring more youth to the Democratic field and to maybe help the party embrace positions that are not as squishy as some critics would contend. In the end, Adelita Grijalva was the winner. She was perceived to be the front runner, but the campaign by Deja Fox did again capture the inner debate that's happening in the party right now. So head over to couriernewsroom.com and take a look at that video series and weigh in on our question of the week through our Sunday morning newsletter as well. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north.
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
One night they blew up the mess hall. Another night they hit the motor pool and tried to blow up all the trucks. They set charges around the guard tower at least once. It didn't seem like they had one specific target, really. They just wanted to destroy and kill anybody they could. There was one night we were up at the tower firing, and I saw a B-40 rocket heading towards us. I could see the sparks trailing. I was firing in that direction and thinking, okay, I'm dead. There were three of us up there firing, and I expected all of us to be killed. We kept firing, and nothing happened. The next day, we did an inspection, and there's that rocket embedded in the sandbags below us. It could have taken off the top of the bunker and killed us like nothing. They were that powerful. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this complete story at WISS.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at TheD8Dispensary.com.
Guys, Appleton is about to be full of music. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And it's here. You're excited. It's the Mile of Music, July 31st through August 3rd. A completely free music festival celebrating handcrafted artistry throughout downtown Appleton, showcasing local talents and so much more. There is a lot going on, and I cannot cover it in this 30 seconds. So head to WISS.FM and click events to find out for yourself.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to a Valley Focus for Wednesday, July 16th, 2025. This morning, Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hill sits down with Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Herald.
Good morning. I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and today I'm joined by Karen Schneider, who is the publisher and general all-around run-amuck and own the thing of the Oshkosh Herald. Thank you for joining me today, Karen.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Absolutely. What is coming in the Herald?
So in today's issue, you're going to see a follow-up on the resolution on Oshkosh looking for a half-cent city tax. So that did go before the Common Council last week, and it did pass. And so it'll be interesting to see, because it was an interesting conversation, and Jonathan Ritchie goes into it a little more, because, in Wisconsin, there are 70 of 72 counties that already have a county tax. Most of them are 0.5, but Milwaukee is higher. And Milwaukee also has a 2% city tax. And that is the model that the council is looking at, that if we're looking for revenue sources, Winnebago County doesn't have a county tax, can we ask the legislature to allow us as a municipality to put our own tax in there? So one, I think it's going to really rev up and ramp the conversations between the city and the county on what that tax might look like. But let's keep in mind, they took $3 million from the general fund last year because of the assessment issue that was out there to try to keep people's property taxes lower. And with the price of things haven't gone down.
No.
So by looking at different ways on how to offset individual property taxes and spread the wealth, so to speak, so visitors coming into Oshkosh would pay their fair share as well. Because they did make a good point. When we go up to Fox River Mall or going up to Lambeau or whatever, we are paying that half cent on the dollars we spend there. And we don't see any of that.
No.
So that'll be interesting to see. It's a great concept. It'll be interesting to see how far it goes. And if it does move along, because, of course, the municipal service resolution that they
right.
had passed too, you know, we did see that put back into the budget after it was cut, and Oshkosh will get an increase on those funds. So do they have the right ears at the state level for this conversation to happen? And every municipality is facing this. You know, if you look at what is happening with the school funding, and there are some that are in the next couple years may not have any state funding because of the household income in those communities per se. So that's all going to fall on their tax levy. How do you offset that?
Right.
So will Oshkosh only be the second person in line, and will the rest of the municipalities say, hey, we have to do this as well? It's going to be an interesting subject to watch as we move forward. So
it will be. And, you know, you mentioned that Winnebago's one of only two counties that doesn't have a countywide sales tax, but yet here we bring in EAA, we've got Life Fest, we've got Crossroads, we've got mm-hmm. all these different events that happen in Oshkosh. I mean, we used to be called Event City. So bringing in those tourists, a half cent sales tax would bring in a lot of dollars.
It would. And great segue, because of course, right? What's right around the corner?
EAA.
So there is a nice preview of what to expect to see at EAA Air Venture this year as well in the Oshkosh Herald today. It gives the times on when all those fly-ins come in mm-hmm. and when the night shows are, and some changes that are happening in the parking lot and camping as well. So
oh, wow.
If you're going out there, make sure you read it and take a look at the map, because there are changes to where they added 4,400 parking spaces.
Wow.
And the way I understood it, they put the parking spaces more on the outside towards the highway and moved one of the campgrounds somewhere else so they would be more convenient to what was happening inside on the actual fairgrounds.
Well, that makes sense.
EA
for the campers.
Grounds.
That
yeah,
does. Yeah,
absolutely. So there are some changes that are going on there. It also tells you if you're coming in from the north, south, or the sky, how to get into the grounds. So make sure you read that also in today's Oshkosh Herald.
Now, you mentioned when you and I were talking that there's something fun that's in the Herald today that I want to hear about. Tell me about this.
All right. So this is right up your alley, I've learned.
Yes.
But there is going to be a Harry Potter birthday party, and it is going to be on July 27th, Sunday, from 1 to 4 at Carmel Crisp Corner. So if all of Harry's friends can be there to help him celebrate his birthday.
I'm telling you, I will be in my Hufflepuff colors, which are black and yellow.
Oh,
if
thank you.
You.
There is a costume contest. So make sure that you have that costume on there. And there's a Hogwarts. Thank you. I'm so sorry, people out there. photo booth and a lot more. So make sure that you put that on your calendar for the 27th to go and attend Harry Potter's birthday party.
I cannot wait for that. That is awesome. If somebody wanted to pick up a copy of the Herald or wanted to check it out on the website, what is the website?
The website's OshkoshHerald.com. And if you're looking for it out on a newsstand, we're at about 40 locations around town. You can find us at most Quick Trips, BPs, grocery stores, at their customer service counters. But you should be able to find us there. But I would say hurry up and go look quickly because they do go fast. It is online right now. So if you want to go check it out, OshkoshHerald.com.
Karen, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it when you come by.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
You're listening to Valley Focus on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Be sure to check out our website at wiss.fm for all past and future editions of Valley Focus.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More calls for Attorney General Pam Bondi to release all she has on Jeffrey Epstein. President Trump, after promising full transparency in the case, now says he doesn't understand what the fascination is. The Senate voting today on a bill to rescind billions of dollars that's already been allocated for public health and for public broadcasting. Vice President J.D. Vance broke a 50-50 tie in the Senate on a procedural vote Tuesday. Fear of another possible flooding event, this time along the Gulf Coast, says ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z.
That low pressure system crossing the peninsula of Florida, it has a chance at becoming our next named storm, which would be Dexter. But whether it becomes something or not, it will bring a lot of rain. Looks like New Orleans already in a flood watch from Thursday to Saturday. Louisiana is going to be that target for the heavy rain.
A longtime music supervisor for American Idol and her husband were found shot to death in their Encino, California home on Tuesday. Police have a suspect in custody, a burglar. This is ABC News.